Welcome to the MissouriNet Press Pass. My name is Darren Job. With me is Bob Pretty and Brent Martin for a quick discussion about the biggest news of the past week. And Bob, you did some coverage about some of the activities, some of the training that's going on at National Guard at Fort Leonard Wood. What can you tell us?
John Allison and I went down to Fort Wood on Monday. John is our intern from Old Dominion University. He's with us for the next several months and doing a lot of great stuff on the internet for us. Our big fear is that when he leaves, the powers that be are going to require that we take over that job. And frankly,
someone's
going
to have to start doing
that.
We don't have
time to do that. So that's why it's so great to have John with us, and he's doing an incredible job. And I hope the folks that check our internet site appreciate the upgrading that he's been able to do for us. But anyway, he and I went down to Fort Leonard Wood on Monday. The National Guard was having a media day down there because they're having 1,000 troops from the Missouri National Guard go to Kosovo in a few weeks. And it's the largest call-up of the Missouri National Guard since World War I. And 110 of these folks are MPs, and they've been training down at Fort Wood. And the other members of the group are in training at Camp Clark and Camp...
I think I read it, but now I can't... I'm drawing a
blank. No. I'll think of it in a minute here. But anyway, Camp Crowder. And down in
I was going to say, I didn't think this was my part. So
but anyway, so we went down to Fort Leonard Wood, and... we were in on two of the exercises they're doing. One of the things that they're training for is traffic control. They're going to be doing a lot of the security checkpoints. And so everybody who went through this stretch of road, which is way off in the woods in Fort Leonard Wood somewhere, everybody who came through there had to get out of the car. They had to be escorted down to a holding area where they couldn't even see the car. The driver of the car had to stay with the car while they searched the car, searched the driver. They had a special area where they drove the car into that was, I guess, they'd be what I'd call cardboard boxes about 10 feet high with wire around them. And then the boxes are filled with sand and rock. And this is basically a blast barrier. So if somebody wants to blow up the car, it's all contained in there. So we had to go through that exercise. And in the middle of the exercise, they were attacked. They simulated an attack. And so this is all training them to respond and how to deal with pretty dangerous people when they went to Kosovo. Then later, after we had lunch and we ate with the troops, we had they're kind of MREs, meals ready to eat, but they had a different name for them that I don't recall. But it was kind of neat. And it's a space technology type food, but it was great food. We had some barbecue something. And it's one of those things where... everything is in a box, about the size of a fried chicken box that you get from Lee's or the Colonel's. And there's a plastic bag, and you rip off the top of the bag, and there is a kind of a very thin paper element of some kind inside. And you take what looks like one of these tubs of food like you have in your refrigerator for meals, your frozen dinners, and you slide that in the bag on top of that piece of paper. And then they give you even a little bag of water, and you pour the water in, and that water does a chemical reaction with this other piece of paper that's in there, and it becomes a heating element, and it gets hot, and it gets real hot, and it gets real hot real fast. So you seal up your plastic bag, and then you let it sit there for a few minutes, and you watch the steam come out of it while it's cooking your food.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really neat. So the folks who hear these things and remember C rations and K rations and that stuff compared to what our troops are able to get in the field now in boxes is pretty amazing. Plus, they had some cookies and some other things there and some applesauce. It was a good meal, very high calorie meal, a lot of carbohydrates, a lot of calories. But these soldiers are moving around a lot. They're doing a lot of work and they're burning this stuff up. So.
And humping a lot of equipment.
Yeah,
I've heard things like 60 pounds, 80 pounds of equipment.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. Then they went over and they did an urban warfare demonstration. And we were there while they were breaking down doors to get into places and stuff like that. So we were actually watching them prepare to go over there so that they can be as prepared to deal with dangerous situations as possible. And, it was all simulations. But there was no games here. These people aren't playing games. They're pretending that this is their situation, but this is practice. It's not play.
And Bob really did a really good feature on there that's on the web. Mm-hmm. People want to, in fact, a lot much longer feature on the web. But what you just mentioned, one of the quotes you had was from one of the trainers who said, it's maybe a simulation, but it's no game.
Yeah.
And I thought that really brought home what this is all about.
It was fun to do that because from our standpoint, not only to see it, but then to come back and produce the stories because we're able to use that sound. We did an 8-minute piece on Tuesday morning and then a 5-minute piece on Wednesday morning on the web. And the way we were able to use the natural sound in addition to the people we were talking to, I hope really is able to helps people understand really what was going on and what it was like to be right there.
Even on the broadcast piece, the piece where they tell you to get out of the car, it just came off really well because you can. I mean, they're serious. Get out of the car. Get out right now.
They're standing there with their modified M16s. They're kind of shortened M16s too because M16s are normally longer to use in the field, but in urban warfare. They're shorter, and I forget what they call them, D4s or something. But when we're out of that car, that rifle is pointed kind of our way.
Right. It's
so.
I had no idea that we were sending troops to Kosovo.
Yeah,
troops on the ground.
A thousand of them. One of every 10 of our National Guard members are going to Kosovo in the next few weeks, and something like 90% of the people in our National Guard have been overseas in the last 5 or 6 years.
Sure, certainly. Iraq and elsewhere.
Yeah, Afghanistan, Kosovo.
Okay, Brent.
I'm still fascinated with the Fort Wood. Let's talk about that.
I think that's worth it.
Or maybe I'm more fascinated with the basketball tournament.
The legislature is out on spring break.
That's an interesting time for us.
It's a little bit, we can catch up on other stuff.
It's more relaxed. It's a time to catch up. A lot of the stories that we have been producing are stories that we had. We used to call it in the can. I don't know if that's a very apt one, but I mean that we've got the audio, we know the information, we have the notes. We just haven't had the time to put it together. Or one of the things that comes up is we haven't had the room. You can't really do a feature if you've got breaking news. And we even ran into some of this with the flooding that has taken place. You have these certain stories you're trying to get out there, but flooding takes precedence. You move that out of the way.
Sure,
you're trying to cover the flooding in southeast Missouri and the flooding in St. Louis.
Flooding is predominantly in southeast right now, right?
Yeah, I had all these great stories I was ready to run this week, and then Mother Nature intervened.
Big time.
And those of us who were around here, I was here in Jefferson City in 93 when we had the big flood, and Brent was covering the big flood up in St. Joe. And so we know what it's like to be right in the middle of something like this. The only good thing, at least at this point, it appears, as far as the flooding in southwest and southern Missouri is, that it doesn't look like it's going to linger. In 93, the thing that we remember so well is that the water came up and it stayed up for weeks and weeks and weeks.
In fact, it was a long time.
I was just looking at a report from 93 by the Corps of Engineers, and one of the small communities up along the Mississippi River had 179 consecutive days above flood stage.
Wow.
6 months above flood stage that year.
Yeah, and this flooding, Darren, has mainly been the Merrimack and the big rivers.
Right.
They're having some problems at Clearwater. They're going to have to release some water. That's one of the things pending now. They're going to have to release some water from the Clearwater Reservoir, and they've got to be able to do that and not worsen the flooding, but they've got to relieve the pressure there. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting flood from that aspect. One of the things I thought, Lieutenant Nick Humphrey, spokesman for the State Water Patrol, said something that I thought was interesting. He said, this isn't along the Missouri and the Mississippi where they're really accustomed to flooding. This is along the Merrimack and the big rivers. They're not nearly as accustomed to dealing with flooding, as much. And he said some of the residents are having more trouble than those who this is a part of the ebb and flow, literally, of their lives.
Right.
But a lot of that stuff is going to go into the Mississippi River. And I know Cape Girardeau is closing the floodgates, or perhaps they already have closed their floodgates, because they are expecting all of this has been dumped into the river upstream to get to them in a matter of days. And some of these smaller rivers are at 1993 levels now.
It's hard to picture that there's a day or multiple day lag between, water hitting into one area and then moving downstream, but I guess that's exactly the way it works. I noticed somebody wrote a story, I'm not sure if it was you, Brent, about someone introducing modifying the term limits.
I did that, and that was one of those that we had kept. It was a hearing that I had covered, I think, maybe a week ago or so, and just hadn't been able to really do anything with it. Had the audio. Gail Kingery of Poplar Bluff, who is a state representative, has attempted, and I put in the story that they've attempted to modify term limits ever since they were enacted. But one of the things that Gail Kingery said was he thought he'd come upon something that might be acceptable because he's not really fiddling with the overall limitation. He would limit the terms in the legislature to 16 years total, which could be used in any combination in the House and the Senate, or you could just serve them all in the House. Would 16 years, you couldn't serve, you wouldn't be able to. Well, I guess it would allow for 16 years in the
Senate. So as it stands now, it's two terms, or no,
it's 2 terms in the Senate because you have four-year terms and then 4 in the House.
Because they're
this
short.
Would allow, and his argument, it would benefit state representatives more because they would be able to spend all of their time in the House. And he had some statistics I really hadn't thought of, but he said only 20% of state representatives actually move on and become senators.
Really?
So in some ways, his argument was the learning curve, it takes 6 years to really learn what you're doing as a legislator. That would allow, and then your term limits are almost
up. And then you've got one more term.
But that would allow some. And anything that would happen would have to go back to the vote of the people. Right. We'll see. It's a different idea.
Well, 20% of the representatives going over to the Senate is not that unusual,
right,
because
right.
What's the size of the Senate? Like 34 senators, 163 members of the House. So
5-to-1 ratio, isn't it? I think it comes out something
almost,
like that.
Almost.
Yes.
So that's almost a natural thing.
Right.
One of the things I noticed when I was at the Capitol building the other day is as you saw pictures of previous I guess, for lack of a better word, congressional pictures.
Legislators.
Legislative classes.
Congress is in Washington, legislature's here.
That's correct.
Yeah.
My bad.
You're bad?
It's a common mistake a lot of people make.
It's hard to not throw in congressional terms. But anyway, I noticed, a repeating theme of, well, here's, this woman, I saw her in the 63rd, 64th, mm-hmm. 20 years, there she is representing, whatever district. I would think that would be over now, soon. How long have these terms?
It's over. We've dealt with all the ones who were in.
Everybody who was in the legislature, everybody who was in the House, everybody who was in the Senate when term limits kicked in is gone from the House or gone from the Senate now.
Wow.
And so
Some of them have moved from the House to the Senate. But you're not going to see people serving longer than 16 years in the future.
Brent, I saw you mention something that, that some of the opponents of term limits are saying that gives too much authority to the staff and to the lobbyists.
Well, his argument was, and I've heard others argue that it gives too much power to lobbyists. He made an argument that I thought was interesting, too, as he said it gave too much power to the executive branch. And it was interesting because Gail Kingery is a Republican and Matt Blunt is a Republican. Even from that standpoint, he looks at it as if you term limit the legislature, you're giving too much power to the executive branch to do things.
And you're getting a less effective
legislature. I don't know. I don't foresee that really going too far. One of the things that we do enjoy doing at MissouriNet is just talking about ideas and getting ideas out there so people can think about them. I don't really foresee that going very far, but who knows, it might.
I think it's time to wrap up, guys. Thanks
Thank
for
you
your
very
time.
Much.
You've been listening to the MissouriNet Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe for Brent Martin and Bob Pretty. Have a great day.